Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for joining us for Be Our Geek, where everyone is a geek about something and where we cover your pop culture landscape through our geek lens. Of course, I am Miss Shannon. I'm joined as usual by my friend, my co-host, my Be Our Geek life partner, Jayton Satia from the Twin Cities Film Fest.
Konnichiwa.
Ah, I like that. You've been surprising me every episode with something a little bit more a little flavorful every time. Yeah. I appreciate that.
We've known each other for a while.
Yeah, so you're like, I have to surprise her.
My research and development for the show is how to surprise you every single week.
I appreciate it. I'm also appreciating you letting us broadcast as we always do, or usually do, from the Twin Cities Film Fest studios here. And today is going to be really fun because we have a good friend of ours as our guest geek, and we get to talk about one of our favorite ways to ring in the holidays. We are going to be covering the Star Wars holiday special with our friend Chris Grepp. I know. It's one of my favorite things to talk about that a lot of people either have seen or heard of and are scared to see.
So I've been in my house for about 12 years, for almost 14 years actually, and we've had the same mailman. And ever since we moved into that house, the mailman, I watched the Star Wars Christmas special, and we'll talk more about this later, but obviously a few years ago.
Right.
I watched it several times, but he was the first person to tell me as soon as I moved into that house, he was like, okay, I'm weird this way, and you're going to know this about me if you just moved in. But you have to watch this thing. If we're going to be any kind of good buddies, you have to. I'm like, hi, my name is Jayden.
Your postal courier.
My postal courier.
Is the one who made you aware of the Star Wars holiday special.
He did.
Welcome.
That is service with a smile.
That is,
I don't get that.
And we talk about that in a moment. Yeah. We still have my postal service.
So let's take a second as we, since he has his sexy voice, if you wonder what that sexy voice is, that is our friend, Christopher Grepp. Chris, here's the thing. Normally, I will come up with like a theme song, something appropriate for our guest geek, and I usually will announce what their title is. The thing about your title is your title has so many words. So many words. Like if you look up his LinkedIn page, it's the Senior Manager of Experiential Entertainment and New Marketing at the Mall of America.
What is the acronym for that?
Right. What do all those words mean?
Chris Grepp, GHIJOJ.DD.MOA.
I'm glad you looked at my LinkedIn page.
Yes.
That brings a smile to my face because, as you notice, the picture is not me.
No, it's a baby monkey.
Yep.
I love that.
That's my first barrier to entry. You got to get past that guy. If you want to do business with that guy, all right.
Do want to do business with that guy. That's, you know how LinkedIn, they talk about like professionalism. Obviously, this is the first entry, first impressions. You can't get better than a baby monkey.
That's true. And one of my skills on there is Nerf basketball. Take it all very seriously. But no, at the end of the day, what I do is experiential and entertainment for Mall of America.
Right. And you actually have done stuff in town with like the Minnesota Film Board. You were involved with them for quite some time. And
correct.
You were, before that, you were part of your experiential nature, was working with the previous theaters at the Mall of America. And so I am very excited that I get to, because you were so involved in theater and I randomly run into you and your family normally when I'm out seeing one of these geek films. You and I normally go to the same theater. And also my good friend Jayton, who is the executive director of the Twin Cities Film Fest, the fact that I get to bring up a movie today that I saw the screener to and neither of you two experts got to see. I'm very excited.
If you were
about
in the studio right now, you'd see the redness on Chris's face, the despair in my face. Oh no, how can this happen? And it's true. Yeah. We typically get those screeners at the same time. Either we go and watch them together,
right,
or you watch them from your house. And
no,
I haven't seen this film.
Nope.
And I'm super excited to eventually see it, but I'm actually getting excited. You tell me about it. Watch this movie or no?
You should go see this film. And the film that I am happy to bring a spoiler-free review of this morning to Be Our Geek is the brand new film that will be out in theaters December 14th, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And whip it out.
My name is Miles Morales, and in my world, I'm the one and only Spider-Man. That is, until he showed up.
And it's a no on the cape.
I think it's cool.
Spider-Man doesn't wear a cape.
All right, you ready? Out!
Hey, guys.
Who are you?
I'm Gwen Stacy. I'm from another dimension.
How many more spider people are there?
Hey, fellas.
Hello.
This could literally not get any weirder.
It can get weirder. My name is Peter Parker.
How am I supposed to save the whole world?
Yes, yes, yes. That was what I was privileged enough to see yesterday, was a preview screener of Spider-Man Into the Universe. I've been excited about this film since I was in a San Diego Comic-Con and they were talking about it, and a lot of the voice actors that you heard were actually there on a panel. So you did get to hear Mr. Shameik Moore, who plays Miles Morales in the film, Haley Steinfeld, who's Gwen Stacy. There's actually a part in there with our good friend Mahershala Ali is in the film as well, Jake Johnson and Lee Schreiber. It was
Chris Pine.
And so, yeah.
And Nick Cage.
What? You didn't notice Nick Cage? Yes, he plays the noir version of Spider-Man in this one. So it is an amazing cast of voice actors. And my opinion, fantastic film. You all need to go see it and take your families. That's what you need to see. Yeah.
But it's an animated film. It's not meant for adults.
And this is, I think, the Spider-Man movie that we all need to see and what we needed in our life. And one of the things that I thought was so joyous about it is that when you went to go see this Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse movie, is that I did not happen to take my son. There were a number of other adults that were there just on their own, were just people that were excited about the film, but there were so many families that were there. And to be able to see this, just such a diverse group of people all enjoying the film. And it's not one of those films where, okay, these jokes are for the adults, these jokes are for the kids. It's just funny. It's just put together well. And the animation is amazing. And when you watch back to some of the interviews where they're talking about how it took them 2 years to put it together and the way they were trying to come up with a new style of animation and this combination of what they can do now that we have amazing computers, but then also that, you know, that line artist, like, actually putting together, it is fantastic.
From, like, a obviously from a geek perspective, you look at the storyline, the story obviously first, so tell me a little bit about, obviously, how are they combining multi-universes into this? Is there central, obviously he's trying to, like, save the world, but are there different
as Spider-Man
themes?
Does, but one of the things I think is interesting about it is that we are starting the new arc when we're using the Spider-Man that's Miles Morales. Morales was an interesting character that started in the comics, I believe, in like 2018 when they started this new character. And one of the things that's really cool about Spider-Man is that so many of us, especially if you were like a geek of color and all these other things, it was somebody you could always relate to. We're all Spider-Man and how one person can make a difference. And the recurring theme is, yeah, it's Spider-Man, you know, radioactive spider, stuff happens. That all stays regardless of where the Spider-Man comes from, in which part of the Spider-Verse. That's one of the recurring themes. But there's still a storyline of, yes, there's a Peter Parker, but here's what Peter Parker's life was in this different universe, or here's what happened with Spider-Woman, or here's the, you know, basically the anime version of it from this other life, or they throw in the old school noir version, which is what Christopher's talking about with Nicolas Cage. So you have a little, even like the fact that they throw in, you know, Peter Porker, who's Spider-Ham, which is like one of the craziest series that you could ever read, but they managed to make them all make sense and still follow through to what you love so much about Spider-Man, and going, I can see why this person is going through this journey, and I can see myself as a spider person.
To go off what you were saying, Stan Lee had said before, when they talked about the most popular characters globally, Spider-Man was the most popular superhero because he was fully masked.
Right.
And that way people could see themselves in it. So as the Spider-Verse grew, they were able to actually represent those characters. And this is the first time we're getting that on screen. That's awesome.
And it was so fun to actually see yourself represented, but in a way, like, similar to Black Panther, where it's just a good film that happens to have these things as well. And so, you know, when you're looking at the Miles Morales character of Spider-Man, it's still that, you know, one of the things that I think they did a great job with, that character when they were writing that series is, it's still what you expect from a Spider-Man origin story. This geeky high school kid, you know, he's just trying to figure out who he is, how he's going to grow up, what he's doing. So radioactive spider hits him. Then all of a sudden he has powers, and his powers is still kind of like this metaphor of puberty and growing and doing all this stuff. All those beats are still being hit when you're doing Miles Morales' Spider-Man, but in addition to anything else, you know, everything else that you would expect when you're watching Spider-Man, then you get the additional flavor of he's biracial, you know, and his dad is, you know, African-American and his mom's Puerto Rican. And you just organically see this family that's still dealing with the same things that families deal with. And him going, I don't fit in and I don't understand what I'm going to be, and trying to figure out this whole journey, and you get to go and follow along with it. And Kim, I think that's part of the fun thing is when they, you know, and again, spoiler free, when you do see all of these different characters that and what they're going through in the different Spider-Verse, that's the recurring theme, is that there's this sense of loss and then overcoming it and knowing that you're not alone. And so it was fantastic. It was beautiful to watch. The one thing I will tell you, and I feel like when I was a kid, they used to put in an occasional, hey, if you possibly have, if it's too blinky, if you have some sort of any condition that having things that are too blinky, that would be a concern. I felt like there should have been a warning about that, because it is very visually stimulating, and some of it, if you had that concern, and I know a lot of people don't, like I think that we've gotten far enough along that there's not as much of that, but I would tell people, like, it can be a lot, you know.
So with the new form of, again, new dive into this type of animation, as the creators are trying to get to, it's much more, from at least the commercials that I've seen, it's much more true comic coming to life, as opposed to too much CGI, any of that. I mean, even in animations, you can add a lot more that absolutely doesn't need to be necessary. And now there's these commercials on, like, you know, turn your TVs to certain modes to truly watch it how filmmakers intended it to watch it. And I think those things are important messages to put out there, because as an independent artist, you want to show your true art. So I'm very much looking forward to how this new stylized animation is actually going to play in the same breath that you were talking about. Is it too jarring? Is it too, you know, visually stunning, yet also visually, you know, impairing us to, like, not, you know, take a sneak away or just kind of clear your eyes for a second?
I did really enjoy the three-dimensional comic book feel of it. And that's what I felt like. It did look not only like it could have been a comic book panel if you actually had a tangible book. So it had enough of that throwback. And they even do use some of, like, the thought bubbles and the way they do, just to kind of throw back to it and bring you back to that's what the source material is. So the way that they did it, I thought was really fun. I thought the soundtrack was perfect. And as somebody who's, like, continually to celebrate how long hip hop has been mainstream genre, the fact that so much of what they're doing, even though it's Post Malone and all this stuff, it just organically just feels perfect, like the songs that they do. And so everything about it, I know that we had talked about we need to come up with a rating system for BR Geek. We'll do that in the new year, because, like, kind of thing, because we keep thinking that we're going to come up with something, Chris, and we don't. So what I will say is, Miss Shannon says go see it.
So if this film were to come out in February, March, April, or even during the Oscar buzz season, so you come like September, late fall, would this qualify in any of these award
season? It would definitely be up for Best Animated Film.
Okay.
And I think that it's, you know, the fact that they intentionally brought it out in theaters, because they could have said, nah, this is a series and it's this. And, you know, they're like, nope, we're going to do this on the big screen. And it's totally deserves that. I think that there would be a lot of those things where it would be, there's no reason why you should go, Coco was a more worthy film, you know, than this one.
Yep.
You know, I think definitely it would be up for a lot of those things.
Cool. Well, the only reason I threw that out there is because of the Golden Globe nominations came out. And if you came to the festival, six of our films that we showed actually got nominated for the Golden Globes, which is kind of a bigger step in, like, will they eventually get nominated for the Oscars?
Right.
It's kind of the meter on that. So we had Green Book with 5, Favorite with 5, If Beale Street Could Talk, my favorite film of the year, with 3. Can You Ever Forgive Me with a couple, Boy Erased, and Private War with a couple as well. So I think, well, I might have missed it, but did Viola Davis get nominated for Widows? I don't know if she did or not.
I don't know, but I did just see a really fantastic, because she did get an award recently, and she did a fantastic, very Viola Davis style awards acceptance speech, where she was really talking about why she decided to start her production company and what she, you know, back to our, you know, my previous statement about inclusion on why she continues to do what she does. Yeah. And so I hope so. So we'll have to look and see if we missed her. If not, we should, like, start tweeting about them right now.
January 6th is the Golden Globes. And now all of a sudden I'm getting all these pings in my email saying, hey, I know you guys do an Oscar party. You're just kind of an impromptu thing. Will you also do a Golden Globes party? So I am considering doing a Golden Globes party as well.
And I like
I may
that
talk
idea.
To the experiential director of the Mall of America about that. If you know him or her, let me know.
Kind of thing.
I'm offering my home right now.
It's even better.
We'll start with that. We'll start with that. And we are going to go deeper into our experiential director and our guest Keek's life story and a great event that he does in town for the Star Wars holiday special when we get back on Be Our Geek. Welcome back to Be Our Geek. I'm Ms. Shannon Chaitin Satia here at the Twin Cities Film Fest studio. And now we are going to get to know our guest geek a little bit more. So Chris Gropp. So Chris, we have known you from, let's see, Jaden, when did you meet Chris? How far back do we go?
Do you remember?
Oh my God.
See, that makes it hard.
14, 15 years ago, longer.
That's when you were first pitching.
The festival.
The festival.
Oh my God. So, yeah, right around, 12 years ago-ish.
I love it.
That's
and
a
I
long time. That is crazy.
Especially since you're only 18.
You know what? He started as a fetai.
I'm 18 now. Yeah, you're right. Why do I feel?
And I feel like Chris, you and I met a few years ago, but I met your wife first, mm-hmm. Because I used to do when I still was working in radio. So his wife was in the industry as far as these things go over at the Mall of America as well. So I was very excited when I found out about the event that you do. And every year, for how long now have you been doing this fantastic Toys for Tots drives that focuses on the Star Wars holiday special?
This is my 12th year.
Congratulations.
The Dirty Dozen.
I know.
A very significant portion of my life I've been hosting this event, and it truly is my favorite night of the year. I absolutely love it.
And so when you were sitting down with your friends, 12 years ago and going, you know what, I think this would be a great idea. How did that thought process go?
I'd been obsessed with the Star Wars Holiday Special for quite some time. I became more aware of it back in 97 when I lived in L.A. I was at a comic convention, and they were selling VHS tapes.
Right.
And I took it, and I watched it, and was blown away. And so then, as you will do, when you work with people, you get their resumes. And I started seeing this pop up on resumes of people I was working on films with.
Really?
So I would ask them, what happened? How did it happen? What was your involvement? Tell me these stories. So it was just kind of a thing for my friends and I. And when I moved here and started work with the Film Commission, I wanted to do something to share this monstrosity with people in one of the best ways possible. And I thought, as a toy drive, this could really be a lot of fun. So we show it as a Toys for Tots event. And it has grown and morphed into this big, beautiful celebration of weirdness. It's more Rocky Horror Picture Show than
right.
It is anything else. And I say it's the safest way to watch the worst thing ever.
Exactly. And so to back up for anyone who is not familiar with the Star Wars Holiday Special. So imagine that you were a young person in 1978 and you get down and you sit down in front of your TV show and you're expecting to see Wonder Woman and the Incredible Hulk. And instead, this is what starts.
Because of the following special program, Wonder Woman and the Incredible Hulk will not be presented this evening.
Important day.
All right, we'll give it a try.
I'll set your coordinates.
We won't jump far. I'll get you back there in time, pal. Trust me.
Harrison Ford. Chewbacca, our
only
friend.
Hope now is I wasn't an Imperial garbage scout, though. I'm going to Lightspeed.
That's the spirit. You'll be celebrating Life Day before you know it.
Stand by. Here's where we say goodbye to our pleasant friends.
And I'm going to let it play until we start with the credits. You have to start the opening. Here we go. Imagine you're sitting watching your television. Your beloved theme song starts playing.
The Star Wars Holiday Special.
Exactly.
No warning signs yet.
Nope.
Starring Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker.
Yes, I like that.
I'm good.
Harrison Ford as Han Solo.
Well done. Yes. Yes.
Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia.
Of course.
With Anthony Daniels as C-3PO.
Yeah, all right. Look, they got all the big names. I'm impressed.
Peter Mayhew as Chewbacca.
Oh, yes. You have to have Chewie, yeah.
R2-D2 as R2-D2.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And James Earl Jones as the voice of Darth Vader.
Everything seems perfect, right? Nothing could go wrong.
Introducing Chewbacca's family.
Wait, what?
His wife, Mala.
His who?
He's got a wife?
His father, Itchy.
Hey, why is his name what?
His son, Lumpy.
Ouch. That's not good for a teenage
With
boy.
With special guest star, Beatrice Arthur.
Yes.
Arthur.
Art Carney.
Of course.
Why would you?
Throw some honey.
Diane Carroll. The Jefferson Starship.
Wait, who?
Harvey Korman.
Theatrical production?
And an animated Star Wars story on the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Oh, my gosh. And then you continue on to 2 hours of the most ridiculous television. It makes list after list after list of the most ridiculous television of all time. Because it is funny, like, when you read back to it, and Chris, I don't know how much of the backstory, because you've tried to talk to people that have been involved with it, as you said. And I do think it's interesting, because when you look into it, there's these stories that most of the stories line I get to where it's like George Lucas is like, you know what would be cool? If we really followed the what's going on in Kashyyyk and we just knew about Chewbacca's family. And people are like, okay, we kind of get that. And he goes, no, really, we're just going to do a whole like family saga of what goes on this planet. And then the writers start going, you know, that's a little weird if we don't have in them speaking in English or subtitles or whatever. And he's like, nope, we're going to go all in on this. And so it basically turns into this super weird version of Lassie, but with, you know, Chewbacca's family hanging out, having like this life day, you know, preparation, and things continue on. And so how long is it at the beginning of the film where you see Chewbacca's family interacting and there's no English dialogue?
Yeah, right. From that point on, after the credits, when they come back, it's about 7 minutes of just
7 minutes, which makes it feel like, again, when I first watched it, I'm like, oh, do I have to turn my subtitles on? Oh, is this a bad copy of what I received? I literally spent the first 5 minutes trying to problem solve what was happening on my TV.
Right. And within about 2 minutes.
At a certain point, I give up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Within about 2 minutes, you hate Chewbacca's family.
Yes.
You hate them.
All of them.
They're terrible.
Every single one of their family members. I'm just kind of like, I don't know, for some reason, I continue watching beyond those 5 minutes, though.
You have
but
to.
But that is the thing. You can't look away from this.
One of the things I think is interesting about it is even though no one speaks English, they're all speaking, you know, They're just growling. Yeah. But you do still kind of get what is going on with this family interaction, because even though they're Wookiees, you're still kind of like, but they're just having normal family interactions.
Yeah. She's putting up with Chewie's father. Their kid's running all over the place. Dad's gone. What is he doing? Everybody's concerned, and they're just growling at each other. It was actually probably a pretty accurate glimpse into the home lives of many people.
Sure.
around the holidays.
They had a house.
Thanksgiving, that's what you get.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Their house looked like the Brady house, but except it was up in a tree. And everything about this is so gloriously awful that Chris is right. I'd seen it, like, bits and pieces of it. But then when I saw it at the first one of your specials, and I got to see it around other like-minded people in this kind of, you know, we've seen it. There's people who've seen it so much that you can actually, like, talk along with it and act as stuff. It really does just change your whole mentality about this thing. So I love that you do this event.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, you know, it's grown. The first time I showed it, it was just me letting it run, and that was terrible. Still great. But then I reached out to the 501st Legion, and I started working with them, and Costumers for a Cause, and actually Toys for Tots has embraced it. So we have kind of our own variety show now, where many of these people from these costume groups They volunteer their time. They create costumes that are specific to the special, and they pop out and interact with the audience. So it's really it's our own little variety show. It's our own little Rocky Horror Picture Show. You just don't know what's going to happen.
And the location is like, where do you showcase this?
Bryant Lake
thing?
Bowl. Yep. So the first year I did it was in the classroom at IFP. Mm-hmm. And after that, I wanted to grow it, and everybody turned me down except for Bryant Lake Bowl. And because of that, I will never leave Bryant Lake Bowl.
Bryant Lake Bowl, if you have never been, especially to the back, the screening area, is probably one of the more intimate settings you can watch a screening. And actually, you can get food there. You can get drinks there. So it's not like you're just – you can do whatever you want in those seats. And there are comfortable seats, and you're having you feel like you're on the stage. You actually feel like you're part of the experience.
And that is exactly it. That's why it's so perfect. Again, the food and beverage is great. The servers get into it. They dress up for the shows now.
Right.
Everybody is ready to just have a good time with this. And truly, people are so generous with the amount of toys that they bring. Like, this event really pulls in a lot of toys. And it's awesome that they stay in the community.
And now you do multiple screenings, you know, each year.
I do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So how many are up to
There's
three
only certain
now?
Capacity.
Mm-hmm.
We do three screenings. The 4 o'clock show is the lightest for sure. The 7 and the 10 always sell out. But the 4 o'clock, my dream was always kind of like, there's somebody in an office somewhere who's thinking of what to do for a party. Bring your staff out and join.
Oh, that's a great, almost like a private screening.
Exactly.
Almost.
Exactly. But you get the same show every time.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And Chris, I know you have some stories about your interaction with people who have been in it. And I did find a clip of Harrison Ford in 2006. He was on talking to Conan. And Conan was brave enough to try and talk to him about it. And it didn't go well.
Let me ask you something. And this is a question I've wanted to ask you for a while, and I've always restrained myself.
Yeah.
Star Wars, of course, came out in 1977, I believe. Huge international hit, one of the biggest hits of all time. Rockets you to superstardom. And then shortly afterwards... Mm-hmm. A Christmas special came out that was produced by George Lucas, in which all of the participants in Star Wars came together, and they made this Star Wars Christmas special, and the tape's been passed around for years, and the rumors that Lucas is trying to suppress it because none of you look happy while you're making this thing. And I thought I'd just ask you about it. Do you remember making this Christmas special? It was 1978. No, you don't remember it?
Because Harrison Ford looks like he's going to crawl through Conan O'Brien.
And no memory of this incident. Yeah.
No, none whatsoever.
No memory of it at all.
No,
so it doesn't exist in your...
No, it doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
No.
What if I were to tell you that I had a little piece of tape right now? What if I were to roll that piece of tape? How would you feel about that?
I wouldn't feel... I don't know. I've never seen it. Maybe it'll be nice.
Isn't that fantastic?
Go ahead. Roll it.
It won't be nice.
The Star Wars Holiday Special.
Chewie, check and see if the coast is clear, will you? You're like family to me.
Love it. Harrison Ford is not feeling it. He's grumpy anyway.
Well, the stories I've heard, that matches up.
Yep.
That he wouldn't remember.
Nope.
Thank you.
That Wookiee looked at you with lust. That was...
Real affection.
Quasi-affection.
And I think it's fantastic because, I mean, you look at it and we make jokes every time we watch that everybody seems so coked up and so out of it and all of these things. But what's, you know, and I know that you were trying to track down some more anecdotes and stories and get more people to show up for the actual event, right, Chris?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I always throw out invites. You never know what's going to happen. Minnesota does have a weird history with the holiday special. You know, we have a letter of apology that I read from Pat Proft.
Yes.
Who's one of the writers who's based here. Lev Mailer, who plays the mustachioed guard, he has recorded an interview for us. He invited us into his home 1 year. So we're able to hear these stories and hear from people. But definitely when I was in L.A. and working with folks there who were working mostly in set deck, that's where I got a lot of the anecdotal evidence that people were just showing up and they were, you know, taking some substances and taking a paycheck, and things were just kind of moving along.
Because, so. I mean, there are just so many parts that are so, you know, just charming. And I, again, if you're in the Twin Cities, and it, or it, if you're not in the Twin Cities, send a toy to Chris anyway. And then get a copy of this, even if you're going to watch it on YouTube, because now you can find it on YouTube. Be around friends. Because it is so much better when you're around other people. Because then you can all sit there, like, cause, and I pulled, like, of course, some of the, like, the highlights. Because there are highlights.
I think it's amazing.
It is amazing. Because it's so, like, I asked my mom, I'm like, did we watch this? Because it's the kind of thing that would have been on. And my mom does not remember it. Being the reason why, she goes, no, I would remember if Harvey Korman was dressed up as a purple person.
And guess what we are ready for now? The cooking. Step one, we stir the mixture. Stir, 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 stir. Stir, 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 stir. Very nice. Now, step two,
dressed
while we're stirring, we also
Julia
whip.
Child.
So it's stir, whip, stir, whip, 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 stir. Stir, whip, stir, whip, 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 stir. Let's try it again together.
Exactly.
At an increased tempo, because precision is very important in this recipe,
yes,
and we do
is.
Want to have a fine consistency, don't we? So, and on the count of one, stir, whip. Stir, whip, 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 stir. Stir, whip, stir, whip, 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 stir. Come on, faster all together now. Cooking can be fun. Stir, whip, stir, whip, 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 stir. Stir, whip, stir, whip, 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 stir. Wah! Having fun, having fun. All right? Coming along nicely now. Step three. We also have to beat. So it's beat, 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 stir, whip, stir, whip, beat. Beat, stir. That's not right. I'm sorry. Stir, whip, stir, whip, 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 stir, beat. Stir, whip, stir, whip, 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 stir, beat.
There are so many things that are going on in this film, and it's just, I do enjoy the fact that at any given moment, you're like, it can't get any more insane, and then something happens, you're like, oh my gosh, it just got more insane.
Well, and it's interesting that they... You know, back in the 70s, the variety show, the variety specials, that was kind of the order of the day. And
right.
they tried to apply that into the world of Star Wars.
Right.
So you had these other reasons for people to watch. Harvey Korman, Bea Arthur, Diane Kira. Like, these are huge names at the time. And it, the fact that you got them to do these things, they were probably like, well, yeah, Star Wars. It's
yes.
this global
it's huge,
phenomenon.
Right.
Let's, mm-hmm. let's do it. And it just, you know, it's not as... Good
did it ever?
Some of its parts.
Did it ever get into the multiplexes? Did it ever get into like a wide release, or was it just a TV
this
special?
This aired once on
just
television
once.
And never again.
Never
right.
Again.
George Lucas said if he had enough time and he would track down every copy with a sledgehammer, smash it.
Yes.
But he produced it. Why was it ever on the air if he hated it so much? Why did it ever get the green light to actually air?
Well, I think if you've seen The Phantom Menace, some of those questions may be answered.
I have, and I understand.
No,
I get you.
There was probably this idea that, well, maybe kids will like it.
Sure.
Maybe families will like it. And then
people will come.
And as you said, Chris, that's what I like. I remember watching the Fantasy Island holiday special or the Love Boat or all these things. That's what you would do. So there's no reason why... It, in theory, I could see them going, all right, especially, we'll follow through on, Return to Endor. All kinds of things get followed through on the time you're like. Mm-hmm. So the fact that this has all of the components of what a variety show was in the 70s, I'm sure they went, it'll be fine. And then you see, you're like, this is not fine.
Yeah, yeah. These two things together,
no.
What could go wrong?
Did people write in letters? Like, was there any, you know how fan mail, but on the opposite, like true Star Wars fans, like, what the hell did
Yep, there
did
were lots of reviews, in the newspaper the following day. Like, the write-ups were terrible.
Right.
Everything was scary.
I think
there
those would be fun
positive.
To read.
Yes. Yeah.
After watching
Absolutely. No, it is a curiosity, and I think it is something I have a hard time explaining to people. Basically, my promotional tour for this event is just a warning. Like, telling you all the reasons you shouldn't see this thing.
I think I've seen you on TV promoted as such.
Yes, that is accurate. And I think that's part of it is some people believe we're just putting on a show
right.
called the Star Wars Holiday Special, and they don't understand, no, this is real. This really happened. It's the original cast and all these people, and you truly have to see it to understand.
Could you do, or maybe we could do this during the festival next year. We can have a blind screening and just invite just your average Joe.
Absolutely.
Just to be like, hey, it's a blind screening. You know, nobody knows what we're going to show. There's no admissions fee. Come. If you want to make a suggested donation, we'll tell you where the suggested donation it's going to go to once we're done watching the secret screening. And just show it. And then actually get people's true reaction to it. And the suggested donation could go towards Toys for Tots or whatever we want. But
100% on board.
Okay.
The more people I can sabotage and surprise with this, the better.
I think let's just, I mean, again, if you're listening to this and you're a festival fan, expect this. But if you... we're going to do this next year. We're going to have a secret screening, and it's going to be this.
It'd be so much
That'll
fun.
That'll be yeah, I'm excited.
Okay.
Because it's one of those things, because every year I end up bringing somebody. I try really hard to find a friend who hasn't gone, and I make them come along. Because
that's
it is
the fun.
Yeah, because they don't believe me when I go. And they, it's, if I'm a geek, and I love Star Wars, and I'm like, it's rotten. Like, they don't believe me because I mean, things that I like, I gave a mediocre review to, you know, Solo, a Star Wars film. And I'm like, and that's not a great movie. So they're like, if Shanna says it's bad, she doesn't really mean it's bad. I'm like, it's rotten. It's so, but it's so rotten now. To me, it's delicious.
It's like a puree.
Yes. Because, like, and you talk about it, because, like, as you mentioned, you do have people that dress up. I've been saying for, what, 4 years now? 4 years now I've been telling Chris that I'm going to remember one year to dress up as Diane Carroll. Because she does.
One of these years it's going to happen. And people are going to lose their minds.
Oh, my God. It's going to be good. Because she's very Diane Carroll. She's very stately. She has this great song called I Am Your Fantasy. And it's so insane. Because the way that it's set up is, for some reason, Itchy, the granddad, gets a present, and a present is basically a holographic fantasy girl.
Yeah, it's like a VR helmet.
Right, that he's sitting in the living room just chilling and gets to hear Diane Carroll talk to him.
Happy life day.
I do mean happy life day.
It's so gross.
It's so gross. It's so creepy.
No one wants their granddad hanging out watching VR porn in the living room.
Yeah, and he starts working his lower jaw pretty aggressively while he's watching this. I don't like it.
Shouldn't you be watching your grandson? No wonder Mala doesn't want granddad living
in this recliner just chilling.
With a helmet that's with a VR helmet that looks kind of like if you had... if you were at a hairdresser and they put a hair drying helmet on your head, that's what their VR helmet looks like. But the music is even very, like, for the 70s, you're like, oh yeah, this is a disco jam.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure they're like, I'm sure Diane Carroll was like, sure. But the dialogue that she does, that's where I'm like, why did she say yes to this? Because here's where it starts to come, where she actually starts talking. Dancers that look like little like sperm for some reason. As he's being lulled into his VR fantasy.
Don't translate that. I don't want to know.
I know you're searching for me. Searching, searching. I am here. My voice is for you alone.
What?
I am found in your eyes only. I exist for you. I am your mom. And you create me. Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
I can feel my creation.
Ew, it's almost worse not seeing it.
Right.
Are you getting your message?
We are excited, aren't we? Just relax.
How is this any kind of a Christmas special? How is this holiday family theme?
Can't we?
Oh.
Oh.
I'll tell you a secret. I find you adorable. I'll tell you a secret. I don't need to ask how you find me. You see, I am your fantasy.
Right?
I am your experience.
Yes.
So experience me. So experience. I am your pleasure.
That's right, gentlemen.
This
I enjoy.
This is our moment together in time.
She's really hammering that home.
That we might turn this moment in
I think the 4 p.m. show should be this without the actual
right. Just audio only.
Just the audio for the whole show.
Attracting a totally different audience.
It'll get people there bringing toys.
The fact that she's responding with the I know, right? Like, Jayden, you, like, I feel you have fully experienced this. Okay, I need to stop.
And it goes on for
Yes, it does. I just am really like going, all right, and then when they pitched this to Diane Keir, they're like, you're going to be a hologram. And she was like, okay, I'm cool with it. But wait.
Star Wars. Future.
Right. Star Wars.
Yeah, in Star Wars.
And I just am amazed that she sat there again. How much? I want to know how much she got paid. Because the singing part of it, is fine. But it's like the whole point that she just did this VR porn thing with a Wookiee fascinates me.
Yeah, it says a lot about the Wookiee culture as well. One thing I thought was interesting this year, so the special originally aired on November 17th, 1978. And this year, on November 17th, it was designated World VR Day.
Funny.
And I feel like
Itchy
started this 40 years ago.
He was a pioneer.
Really, World VR Day.
Back in the time when you are getting approached with the success of Star Wars already just like hot off the press, right? I think you'd take a pay cut to do something like this. I think you would actually be like, I want to be part of the verse.
Right.
Sure.
It's possible.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. This could be an opportunity for me to be, you know, in future films.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I think you at that moment you're like, I'm gonna ride this wave. It's George Lucas. It's not some random. He's doing it.
But if it's a holiday special, very clearly, it's going to air annually, right?
No. Nope. Right. And I do think it's interesting that along with it as well, some of it ended up being like Star Wars canon. Like there were some things that happened in it. Like the first time we see Boba Fett is in this weird cartoon that they put in it. It's like this old school heavy metal style cartoon that Nelvana did back in the day.
And it's... It is starting to creep out there. It's starting to be acknowledged a little bit more. Sideshow Toy. I don't know if you guys look at Sideshow Toys. They are the best collectibles on the market. They're amazing, and I should not go on their website anymore because they're very expensive. But they did the animated version of Boba Fett. So now people are starting to acknowledge that the holiday special does exist.
And it was, from what I understand, even that they were the ones that were like, okay, we're going to grime him up a little bit. And the way that he ended up looking in the films was because of what they did in this special. And I believe that was one of the first times that James Earl Jones was credited as Darth Vader.
Probably.
Yeah. So he wasn't really, there's some things that ended up being, they clearly did not think it was going to be trash.
No, not
they
at all.
Really were all committed
effort.
To this thing. Yeah. There was effort.
There was certainly effort put into this.
My hope now, from a theme park perspective, with the Star Wars lands opening at Disney World and Disneyland, is that perhaps for the holidays they celebrate Life Day at
they
the parks.
They have to.
I think that would be great.
They
bring
have
it,
to
bring it full circle.
I think they should. Yes, and you go up a tree and you.
Absolutely.
And you just visit the Wookiee.
You put on your red Snuggie.
Yes.
You gather around the tree.
And you sing.
You do sing. You sing. Should we sing?
This?
You get your oboe out. Wait, let's find Carrie. Where's Carrie? A day
that leads us into life. Yes, this is Carrie Fisher singing.
And she's literally diagonal at this point.
What is that? Why is that happening?
You knew she was going to get a record deal right after this.
Of all of them standing up there
holding their candles.
Yeah. It's the most weirdest thing you'd ever could imagine seeing.
Until the next ending where they're all gathered around the table.
That's right.
because you think it's over.
Right.
Like, Return of the King, and it's not. There's more. Well, there's this weird, like, almost like a memorial
right.
to Chewbacca after that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, what is happening?
Why?
And I think that that's part of it is that you're like, wait, am I supposed, should I go to the bathroom now? No, I can't
is
go to the bathroom
yet.
It's not over. So why was there another thing that happened?
It's you're never like, over.
It's just never keeps over. Going.
So we're going to do, so we're going to do that pop-up thing. And then I'm going to remember for next year. I promise. I'm going to get my, because I need to get that Diane Carroll. You know,
I think that'd
idea.
Be badass.
You think that would be good?
When you come to the show on Wednesday, there's so many costumers there. Just talk to them.
That would help, yeah.
Help you put it together.
That's what I
need. You should do some sort of a costumer competition. And then people can
but they actually, they just, you know, and there's like, because
the
are,
money raised for that could obviously go towards Tours for Tots.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
And it is fantastic. So tell people how they can get the information about it, Chris.
So we have a Facebook page, the Star Wars Holiday Special Toys for Tots event. We have 3 shows, 4, 7, and 10. I will start ticket distribution at Bryant Lake Bowl at noon on Wednesday.
Okay.
You bring me a toy or two if you're feeling generous, which you should be. Because it is all for the tots.
Right.
You give me the toys, I give you the tickets. Eat, drink, be merry, and just be a part of the weirdest holiday celebration the Twin Cities
there
has.
There have friends. Been times bring when I friends. Haven't made it through the whole mm-hmm. screening because I've seen it so many times where I just get talking about it, and
there's
then we don't even watch
I've
it.
There's been moments I've passed out because I literally have had enough whiskey to get me through it, and halfway through I'm just kind of like on my couch.
And, you know, again, like I can't stress enough how generous people have been and how much of a difference this truly makes later in the season for the local Toys for Tots, and I so appreciate that people come out year after year and have made this part of their traditions. I hope I can do it for another 12 years.
Is this also on the Bryant Lake Bowl's website?
Yes, you know? Bryant Lake Bowl has it on their website as well. Follow me on LinkedIn.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding. No, but on Facebook
you should change
or Twitter
your,
for updates.
Profile picture to represent the holiday
you
special.
You could be itchy.
I could do that.
Oh, with
don't
the VR.
Don't put
with
me there. It's terrible. No.
I think I'm ready. We will make sure that we also link all of this information. If you go to our show page, Be Our Geek, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook as well. So we'll make sure we link to that. And we will definitely be there this Wednesday bringing along our toys and stirring and whipping along with you.
I should say the poster this year that our friend Clint yes. Lugert did mm-hmm. does feature the cooking segment. So stir, whip, stir, whip, whip, stir.
I'm very excited. Yes. I have a spot left on my wall
because yeah.
I do have them from the last 5 years. So I've been waiting.
The posters are far better than they have any right to be for a show like this. It's fantastic.
You can also get the information if you go to Jayton's website over there at TwinCitiesFilmFest.org. And I know that you have some fun things coming up. You just finished a holiday sale that you guys did. That was really a cool tie-in.
Yeah, we had like a pop-up holiday sales with local businesses. Our next event is coming up in January where we're going to be doing a Minnesota Shorts Showcase. So these are a lot of these Minnesota shorts that are made that they weren't accepted into our festival just because there was so much great content. These are phenomenal short films, and we're honoring local filmmakers, so we're going to be doing that in mid-January as well.
All right, we're excited for that. Again, you can get all that information and more if you go to TwinCitiesFilmFest.org, and we are going to be presenting a little holiday recap next time, and we also, because I have something special, we're going to be celebrating the birth of our good friend, Jayton Satia, when you hear us on our next episode.
What? I'll be reborn.
I know. I like it. I like it. It's so happy. Happy Life Day
Happy
to
life.
You, everybody.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Chris, for joining us, and we will see everyone next time on Be Our Geek.